Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. If you're interested in participating in any of the performing arts, either as an amateur, professional, or just for the pure joy of it, you'll be interested to know more about the National Federation of the Blind's Division of Performing Arts.
We'll speak with Jordy Stringer and Julie McGinnity about how members can connect and share experiences to improve skills, find employment, or just have fun. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip is basically the philosophy of the National Federation of the Blind and comes to you from Julie and Jordy.
Don't let anything stop you from being the person you want to be, and especially not what other people say because of your blindness.
Low expectations create obstacles, and we want to break down all those barriers so that those obstacles aren't there anymore, so we can live the lives we want.
And that's basically the message that we try to deliver very often here on Eyes on Success. We'll hear more in a bit about how some of the people in the performing arts division actually do this.
Let's start by meeting Jordy and Julie and learning a bit about the National Federation of the Blind in general before, in the next section, we'll get into focusing on the Performing Arts Division.
My name is Jordy Stringer. I am serving right now as president of the Performing Arts Division of the National Federation of the Blind. I'm from Columbus, Ohio, and I am here to talk with you guys today about the Federation and the Performing Arts Division and what we do here.
And I'm Julie McGinnity, and I am serving as the vice president of the Performing Arts Division, and I'm from Columbia, Missouri, and I've been serving as vice president a very short time. I am a master's student in vocal performance, and I've been in the Federation for like 5 years, so hopefully I can help out where I can.
Many of our listeners have visual impairments. Does either of you?
Yes, we actually are both totally blind.
I'm not totally blind.
Okay, I am totally blind, and Julie is blind.
I'm pretty much blind. I can read Braille, but I can see a little bit, enough to tell colors and shapes and that sort of thing. But, yeah.
Every little bit helps, what I found.
But, yeah, I'm totally blind, and I definitely am a Braille user and a cane user, so.
Yeah, and I use Braille as well, and I have a guide dog.
So before we talk about performing arts and the visually impaired, maybe you can tell some of our listeners a little bit about the NFB if they're not familiar with the organization.
The National Federation of the Blind is a membership organization that has 50 state affiliates plus Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico. And we also have many divisions and groups and committees. We do a lot of legislative work in D.C. Our headquarters are in Baltimore, Maryland. We work on bills, and we work with legislators to make things happen to, you know, better the lives of blind people. We believe that blindness is a characteristic and shouldn't limit anyone or hold them back from doing what they want to do with their lives. Our tagline is live the life you want. So that's kind of our theme, of course. You know, don't let anything stop you from being the person you want to be, and especially not what other people say because of your blindness.
So we're going to be focusing on the Performing Arts Division that you folks are heavily involved in, but can you give us an indication of what some of the other divisions are?
Absolutely. Like Julie said, there are quite a few divisions. Some of the more popular, more large divisions are the National Association of Blind Parents. That's a group of parents of blind children, and essentially they work very hard to promote equal access in early elementary education for students who are blind. We also have a lawyers division. They talk about all the issues and don't know actually what they do. I know they
entrance exam.
They have a lot of influence there. There is also the National Association of Blind Students. Their main objective right now is the development of accessible instructional materials for higher education. So there's some legislation that they work on right now specific to that And we also have crafters division, we have writers divisions, and we have
guide dog users divisions
and different things of that nature. So without going into too much detail about them all, those are some of the more popular divisions.
That covers almost any aspect of life.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I can go on. I mean, there's blind educators, there's a diabetics division, there's a blind merchant, you know, individuals who are small business owners through the Randolph Shepherd program. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that or not, but some of the listeners might be. And so folks who are heavily involved in that and have been running businesses and are contract managers, they get together. And there's also legislation that, you know, we're trying to work through right now with federal government trying to dictate what types of products these people can sell and different things.
If anyone is interested in our divisions or anything, they can go to nsb.org and read our mission statement and lots of literature, speeches, info for educators, lawyers, parents, guide dog users, any interest you have as a blind person, you can read about on the website or call the national office too.
And that's a great way of connecting with other blind individuals with similar interests. And I take it there are lots of mailing lists associated with those groups and ways that people can connect and interact.
Yep.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have a extensive list of listservs. Those can be found going through that same website. It'll direct you to the additional or subsequent website to become a part of that. And it goes so far that each even individual chapter around through each affiliate, each division, all have their own list. So there's hundreds of them, hundreds of ways for people to connect with each other.
Great.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
This week's focus topic is the ability of blind and visually impaired people to participate fully in many diverse performing arts, and in particular what the National Federation of the Blind Performing Arts Division can do to facilitate that.
So today we wanted to focus on the Division of Performing Arts, and maybe you can give us a summary of what their mission is overall.
All right. We are celebrating our 15-year anniversary as a division. We were developed in the year 2000, and the goal at that point was to bring together people who had a common interest in the entertainment industry. And that has, over the last 15 years, transcended into a group that not only supports people who are in the entertainment industry and who are trying to gain skills, learn how to perform, learn body posture and different things like that, to make that happen. And so now we, over the last 15 years, developed and are now what we like to consider a pretty substantial educational resource and promotional network for people who are blind and visually impaired. We do that by fostering opportunities for people. We have produced a couple of music CDs where people have delivered their product to us, and we have put it on CD and we've made that available for public consumption.
We're here to promote the equality of the blind in the entertainment, music industries, and in the performing arts in general. And we're also here to develop opportunities for ourselves as blind people and to research opportunities and, you know, work together to really get ourselves out there as performers and get ourselves accepted and where we want to be.
There are a number of very famous blind musicians, and we've actually interviewed some less famous blind musicians on this show. But you call your division performing arts, and that, I assume, covers much more than just music performance. What other performing arts do you have active members that are pursuing?
We have members who are pursuing all types of differing degrees and differing types of performance-related things. So we have folks who are in the audio engineering business, in the talk show host business, public speakers, practicing DJs, directors of choirs and mega church groups and different things of that nature. We support public speakers. We have also people who are actors, and we actually just started recently having a lot of people show interest in dance. And so we have some individuals who are doing some step dancing. We actually, at the convention that we are here in Orlando, Florida, we just got done with a swing dancing workshop where about 35 people or so got to learn some dance moves. So it's a broad variety of performance-related things that we support.
We have some people at our talent show who are going to read poetry. Like, it's everything.
So it sounds like there are opportunities for people to actually meet in person and not just connect over the internet and email lists and all.
That's correct. Actually, in fact, one of our new initiatives is that we want to develop some divisions in other states. And right now, we next week are going to begin working with the folks in the New England area to start to develop some of these groups that people don't just have the opportunity to meet once a year, because our division is a little bit small and we only have about three active affiliate groups for performing arts in Indiana, in Georgia, and in California. And so our hope is through those things and having those groups encourage other people around the country that they can do the same thing. So yes, there are opportunities. Performers are a strange breed of people, and bringing all of those things together regularly is a difficult thing to do. And so through developing these divisions in the actual what we call affiliates, we're hoping to make that something that people can partake in once a month or as regularly as they want. I mean, there's no limitation on how much they can network with one another and work with one another, and they may be able to, who knows, people may be able to record projects together or perform plays together, different things like that. So that's our goal, is to make that happen.
So you talked about people getting together once in a while for special events like the one you're at now, and the fact that you'd like to set up more local events that can happen on a more regular basis. In what other ways do people interact and connect with each other when these events aren't going on?
Well, one of the things that we do is, Jordy mentioned the listserv. It's an email list for people to network together and ask their questions of the membership of the Performing Arts Division and get them answered. People can use that as a networking tool. I believe we have a Facebook page.
We do. We connect with people via Facebook.
Yeah, we have Facebook. We have a website, and it's a pretty new updated website, so that's very exciting, and that's a good way for people to connect with us.
One of the other ways that we do this is a promotion of this CD, the Sound Insight tool. What happens is we ask for people to submit things from all over the country, so when we're not here, we're always emailing people, we're always calling people, people are always calling us. Each affiliate has a state convention, and so every year, not only do we have this event, each affiliate has its own convention. And then people are also able to network then. And then there are, in addition to that, that's a once-a-year thing for each affiliate. And then on a smaller scale, each chapter or each additional special interest group will meet once per month, or more frequently if the people in that area decide that they want to.
Also, another thing we do is we have committees that people membership can work on. So our board or people who are chosen by the board will develop committees, so for fundraising or for getting membership or to work on a specific topic that deals with the division, and so that's a really good way for members to help out and serve and network with one another and really help us move forward.
There's a lot of work that has to be done to keep these things going, and as you say, there are many ways to contribute. I guess
there are many ways to contribute. It takes a very much concerted effort.
So you've reeled off a huge list of types of performing arts that your members are involved in, and there is a vast difference between being a talk show host and a DJ and a music production engineer. What kinds of common topics do these people all find that would be of interest and potentially helpful to each other?
Well, the best place to go to look at those topics is often the listservs. We talk on there about anything from audio engineering, so accessible equipment for doing like mixing and editing and things I don't know anything about like that. Or recently we had a discussion about being on stage as a blind actor and, how to get involved in local theater and that sort of thing. At our conventions, we have workshops. So we've had workshops on recording equipment. We've had, like Jordy said today, we had a swing dance workshop, and that was really fun. We've also had workshops on, stage presence and what to do on stage and how to learn the stage and that sort of thing as well. So, I mean, it depends on what people ask for. You know, we could do a workshop on how to be a show host or something like that if people were interested in that sort of thing. I think a couple of us were talking about possibly doing a workshop on physical presence and movement on stage while you're speaking or singing and that sort of thing. So we do a lot of different things.
And with that, our responsibility is to, if we don't know how to facilitate the conversation, we go out and we find the person, the blind person who's in the industry, and bring them to the table so that they can then give the proper information and appropriate comments on those types of things. Rather it be someone who's a DJ, rather it be someone who's an actress. We're developing right now with a company in Illinois. This is actually an announcement that we just are making here at this convention, a program that people are going to be able to go and apply through the Department of Vocational Rehabilitation Services to receive training at IC Music Studio in Illinois. I know many people think about performance. When I think perform, I think kind of fun, recreational types of things. But our mission, ultimately, at the end of the day, is to have people employed and have people working to their fullest potential in spite of their blindness.
You just raised another point, which one can imagine that a lot of decision makers are reticent about taking on a blind individual as a dancer or an actor, or even something that to someone who knows blind people would think, why would they be reticent about that? Do you give advice to prospective people who want to get into the performing arts and are finding this kind of pushback from prospective decision makers?
I think the first thing that you, as a blind person who wants to get into a performer's field, should do is really learn your craft and know it well and know the things that you will need to do that maybe sighted people will question you about. So I'm an opera singer, and I know that if I audition for an opera, they're going to be a little bit wary about me being on stage and climbing on platforms and going on and off stage quickly and efficiently. And so I need to be able to tell them, I know how to do this and here's how. You need to be able to do that. In a lot of situations, dance would be the same. And you need to be one of the best, and you need to work really hard to make your blindness not a problem for other people. Because the reality of it is that we're used to our blindness, and we're used to who we are, and we know what we can do and how long it takes us to learn an environment, and you know how long it may take us to learn a song or to do what we need to do and how we do it with our alternative techniques. But the sighted people who we work with, our colleagues, they don't know that. And so we need to educate them by showing them what we can do. And the best way to educate them is really to show them that we can get up there and we can audition and we can move and we have stage presence and confidence, especially. And confidence is a hard thing to grow, especially as a blind person if you're used to being turned away. That's really the best way to do it. You know, work with some good coaches, really practice. And I know I'm saying I'm such a hypocrite. I'm a horrible practicer, but you know, really work on your skill and developing it and, you know, just keep moving forward, because if you do, and if you work hard, you know, to overcome some of those things, you'll find ways that are advantages for you, you know, that in some ways we do have to work harder than everyone else, but that actually has a payoff in the end, I think.
Part of the reason why we have these conventions is so that there are some people who don't get that in their local area because there either isn't or there's not the desire, and there's just that person who's out there. And so that's absolutely what we do, and we talk to them, and we spend a lot of time in the National Federation of the Blind on the phone. We spend a lot of time talking to people and encouraging people to be good self-advocates and different things of that nature. So yes, we do.
Well, that type of support can be very helpful. Just knowing that something is possible and that someone has done it before and has at least some of the answers and can point you in the right direction, that can really be an enabler.
Absolutely, especially when you can have in a situation like here, we have a job fair the other day where we had something around 25 or 35 companies or something who are here and who are seeing people who are not only looking for gainful employment, but doing it the same way that sighted people do it. And so that's like showing people, like Julie said, is the best way that we found that we can break down some of those barriers.
So sometimes it's difficult just to even get the opportunity to show somebody or get your foot in the door. Do you have any advice there? I mean, if you have a proven track record, if you've done it before, someone can more easily make the leap of faith that maybe you can do it in their production or their special performance. But if you haven't done it before for someone else, it's sometimes tough to get the first opportunity.
Absolutely, and that's true. And that's where, you know, our leadership team will come in and we find somebody. If we can't find anybody, if it's not a situation that we've ever faced before, we put ourselves in that situation because we know a little more about kind of policy and different things like that. So we kind of know the jargon of whatever the situation might be. And so we put ourselves in that situation and we try. Now, we don't always succeed. You know, there's nothing perfect. This isn't a perfect process. Performance is an extraordinarily competitive thing to be involved in, as well as all the other things that come with being popular in this, in audio and different things like that. So there's no, I don't think there's a perfect answer, I think. But if the thing that we do here is if we don't have the answer, we work together to find it. And having a support network is the key.
Our connections are really valuable because, I don't know, maybe one of the most significant ways that performers, you know, get into performing is through college and doing performances through school. And so we have, you know, students division where, you know, we learn to advocate for ourselves as students. And so I think that kind of illustrates one of the connections, you know, that we have as the Federation that really helps us out.
Well, you know, everything you guys are saying, although you apply it to the performing arts, is so universal in terms of being able to demonstrate to other blind people that what they're trying to achieve is possible, to demonstrate to decision makers that the blind person is capable of doing whatever they're being asked to do. It's a wonderful service, what you're providing.
We definitely enjoy it. We think it's necessary. I think if the folks in the Federation and in this division, you know, we wouldn't be doing this. You know, we're celebrating our 75-year anniversary of the National Federation of the Blind here in Orlando, Florida. And so we believe in it. And we believe that, you know, blindness is not at all what holds you back at all. And that's what we believe. So.
Now for this week's final item, how to contact Julie and Jordy, how to learn more about the National Federation of the Blind's Performing Arts Division, and how to find their archives of very useful information.
If people have any other questions, is there an email address that they can contact you through?
Our email address is nfbpad@gmail.com. If they want to contact anyone individually, myself or Julie, our contact information is available on the website itself, nfbpad.org, under the Contact Us. Our email address is there. My phone number is there. Our actual office phone number is there as well. And folks can leave a message. And I'm usually very good about returning calls, just not at conventions.
Can you give us those phone numbers, too, for any listeners who are more into telephone contact?
Absolutely. So my contact information, again, I'm Jordy Stringer. Telephone number is 317, area code 629-4639. Individuals can contact me by sending an email to president@nfbpad.org.
My phone number is area code 314-610-7740. And my email address is, I'm going to spell it because it's fun. It's kaybaycar@gmail.com. So that's kaybaycar@gmail.com.
For any of the listeners who use JAWS, JAWS says it really funny when you listen to it, by the way.
And you can always find me on Facebook, or you can find either of us on Facebook.
And then also our office phone number is 317-643-1890, and folks can leave a message there. They'll hear a nice, cheery greeting from me, or grumpy, depending upon at what time of the year it's been recorded. And I'm happy to take phone calls and answer any kinds of questions about the division and about the Federation people might have.
You talked about the workshops that you have occasionally around the country. Are these archived in any way, or can people participate in a webinar to see it remotely if they can't get to the workshops?
So some of these things are available. some of the things that we've done over the last couple of years have not been recorded. So we just kind of, we do make some things available. Our website has a media section. I'll give you that website address because we didn't do that yet. It's nfbpad.org. There's a media section there. So whatever is available, people can go there and they can check out the videos. There's also the opportunity to listen to recorded meetings from the phone conversations and phone conferences that we have. So people can access it through that.
But it sounds like you have a fair number of resources on that page, specifically about the Performing Arts Division and how to connect with it. And I assume there's information about how to join the listservs there.
That is correct. Absolutely.
So did we miss anything? Is there anything else that you'd like to say that we maybe didn't cover?
The only thing that I have to conclude with, in addition to just making myself as available to people as they want, is to let them know that blindness is not at all the characteristic that defines you or your future at all. Every day in the National Federation of the Blind, we raise the expectations of blind people. Low expectations create obstacles, and we want to break down all those barriers so that those obstacles aren't there anymore, so we can live the lives we want. And we want all the folks who are listening to know that it's possible to do anything, anytime, anywhere.
Well, that's pretty much the philosophy that we espouse on this show. And we've talked to people who do some pretty surprising things for blind people. Even blind people are surprised at what some of these other blind people have done. And they're like, wow, well, maybe I could try that. You know, it really is possible.
You know, the president of our entire organization is a blind gentleman by the name of Mark Riccobono. And he drove a car on the NASCAR track in Tampa, Florida, a couple years ago. So, and a car, not a car driven by somebody else, but a car totally driven by a blind person with gas pedals, brake pedals, the whole thing. And apparently it worked out really well. So,
yep, he took his family on a drive.
We believe that anything at all is possible. We have folks who drive motorcycles and fly planes, and it's just a beautiful thing. So we're right there with you.
And we have lots of stories like that of incredible things visually impaired people have done around the world in our archives at eyesonsuccess.net. And also all of that contact information, as usual, to make it really easy for people to get, that's in our show notes at www.eyesonsuccess.net. So make use of those show notes.
That's it for show number 1538. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll have the first of two episodes in which we speak with George Kircher. George Kircher is the person who coined the term print disabled and continues to be a leading advocate for making information accessible to people with reading difficulties. Next week, we'll talk with him about his early work and the beginnings of the DAISY standard. And the week after that, we'll talk with him about how those have become integrated into EPUB standards and what the future might bring. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-258-0333.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. Browse the full archive of programs, find instructions for subscribing to the podcasts, and much more at www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also find us on iTunes, follow us on Facebook and on audioboom.com, at Eyes on Success, or Twitter at @_EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success and have a nice day.